Football Friday with Doug and Wolf. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Paul.
Okay.
Come on, Paul.
We're trying to change the culture around here. We're coming off a 5-win season preceded by a 3-win season, and the cowbell certainly isn't helping anything.
Paul, I can't hear you. I don't know why. There's cowbells in my ears.
Go ahead and flash the four, Basinonians. That's right on a Cowbell Friday. Break out those pots and pans, ladies and gentlemen. Rub it all over Paul's Brillo hair on a Cowbell Friday. Slide on the Jordache jeans while you're at it, because the party's not going to be the same without you.
Paul, I wouldn't take that because I'm jealous of your bro here.
I'm looking at the analytics here. There's never been an NFL city that's won a playoff game playing Loverboy every Friday. That's what the analytics say. Cease and
2015,
desist.
Paul, despite back-to-back Hail Marys.
On behalf of the Red Sea, just cease and desist.
It didn't flip. It didn't flip.
Brush it back. You want a piece of my
heart. From what I understand, there's already a Cardinals fan song out there. After 2 wins, the fans have already been moved to write a song in honor of the 2020 Cardinals. It's out there somewhere. I wish I had it. I don't.
I actually think it was my buddy, Ron Alassi, Paul. Okay. I think it was Ron Alassi, my buddy. I think he wrote the song right here. The guy that actually played at our wedding celebration. Remember, Paul?
Do you remember
the band?
I do remember.
He was a Journey cover band. Ron Alassi, my brother, man. Yeah, I think he actually wrote that song, Paul.
Actually, I don't need memories and recollection because I have the video on my phone. And if things get a little too pointed around here, Doug, and I feel like I've been slighted, I will send out and post this video of Ron Wolfley on the dance floor.
Yeah,
so
Paulie,
just know that.
Okay, there will be payback.
The plan was to discuss Steve Keim, but I got to say, 13 and a half years, Wolf will say, 14th season of the Doug and Wolf Show.
Of course.
I've never heard, Paul, that there was a Journey cover band at his wedding.
Oh, yeah, man.
Wedding celebration. Never heard that.
Doug, don't make it sound like it's happenstance. It was by design. Wolf went out, sought out this Journey cover band because that's what he wanted for his wedding.
You was Shania right. Twain and Michael Bolton wannabes?
Hey, listen,
you know, covers not
Journey,
available?
Journey with Steve Perry was huge when I was a kid growing up, all right? Absolutely huge.
Wolf,
and you don't see a lot of cover bands, by the way, Basinonians. You don't see a lot of cover bands out there doing Journey, do you?
I don't
mind
Journey.
Because they can't do Steve Perry.
I mean, I'm not going to handle listening to a whole CD.
This is it right here. This is it, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, indeed. And by the way, we had the cover band come back for the beautiful Miss Stephanie, the Warrior Queen, Basinonian, her 44th birthday. Paul, you were there as well, I believe.
Yes, I was.
Paul can't get away from Journey.
Paul, I think you were doing the folding chair even out on the dance floor.
The more Wolf was on the dance, Doug, the more Wolf was on the dance floor, the more I went and hit the open bar. Put it that way. It just,
don't see it.
I'm here to confirm it really can always get worse. You think Wolf's chair dancing is bad, you ought to see him in full body action.
Basinonians, when a man loves a woman, he gets off his butt, gets over himself, and goes out there and actually dances on a dance. Even bad dancing. Yes, bad dancing is acceptable in that situation.
I'm just shocked at you, Wolf, that you know, I love Eric Clapton. Whenever I've played Clapton on this show, you freak. Oh, it's soft. It's soft. And now all of a sudden to find out you like Journey.
Doug Lees, this Journey came out. It was like 19. I was 18 years old, maybe.
Why are 17? You so flustered at being soft?
We just
found this
soft.
Out. Finally.
This was rock, man. This was rock. All right, it wasn't Zeppelin, but it was rock and roll.
So here's the big test then, Paul. Make sure you're listening. Wolf, did you love Boston, too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, see?
There's no doubt.
Did you have more than
Boston,
a feeling on Boston?
Can I tell you right now, Boston came out, it blew your mind, ladies and gentlemen. There's a reason why Boston, the first two albums, and that's right, they were albums.
No, they were 8 tracks.
Party.
They were 8 tracks is what they were.
You love Boston, too, Paul, and you know you did.
With a name like Wolfley, of course he's going to like Journey, and of course he can't dance. Hey, just know that right now.
And Paul, and by the way, don't you ever tweet that out, Paul.
It is the hammer. It really
here
is.
It
I
is
do have
right
the hammer.
Here, everybody now. Yeah. This is what a beautiful feeling this is, being 2-0, is it not, Steve Keim?
It's more than a feeling. Oh, this is soft.
That's right. Here we go.
At least Steve Keim has Rush. I mean, Rush, that, you know, that's tough. There's something to it. But, look, but Journey is indefensible.
I do have
really
to ask,
is.
You're sitting at the bottom of Hodson Road making fun of your brother for listening to Loverboy while you've got Boston and Journey on.
Come on! 14 years old when Boston came out. 14! This stuff was huge. Do you know how many albums they sold? I mean, it went double, triple, platinum.
Paul, did you have any idea that he would get this defensive over Boston and Journey?
Oh, my goodness. Listen, do your tastes change? Of course they do. There's no doubt. No, I was never a Phil Collins fan.
No,
never.
Draw the line.
I was never a Phil Collins fan.
I can't be associated with the show
Genesis.
Right now.
Couldn't handle it.
I mean, my personal brand suffers enough, much less being on a show that has Loverboy and Journey and Phil Collins next. We'll get the Peppers. I mean, this is horrendous.
I mean, I was growing up. I was a teenager during the hair band years. There's no doubt about it. Yes, Motley Crue was absolutely huge. Skid Row.
I liked Motley Crue.
I remember you.
Absolutely.
Sebastian Bach.
I mean, Bear, do us a favor. Play some Live Wire. If you want to play some Crew, give us some Live Wire. Let's get tough around here. It's a football Friday. You got the Lions coming in, the Honolulu Blue and Silver. You know, you got to go ahead and hand them their 12th straight loss.
Okay. What would... See, this is...
No.
How about this, Paul?
Okay, look, if you want to get down 24-6 to start the fourth quarter like you did last year, keep playing this song.
I like Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I mean, if you want to come out and Adrian Peterson says, "Who wants some?" and he jack stomps you at the second level in the open field, then just keep listening to this.
Do you remember Eric Turner, the safety out of UCLA, who passed away? What a great player he was. Do you remember him?
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
He came up to me one day in the locker room playing for the Cleveland Browns, based on Indians, and he said, Wolf, I heard something I know you must love. The Chili Peppers. Have you ever heard of the Red Hot Chili Peppers? Give it away now. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Oh, I love you, E. I love you, brother. Yes.
Well, of course, you had a bandana on, a rat tail, two earrings, and,
Paul,
and you're wearing bracelets. You're wearing bracelets, so of course you were a guy who would hop around in his underwear.
No piercings whatsoever, Paul, as I was playing in the National Football League. Are you kidding me? Never.
By the way, Baron Maloney, will you look up something for me? I just received a tweet, and there's no way this is true. Okay, we all make mistakes. We all say things on air like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe I didn't know that. But we don't get to edit stuff. Somebody just sent me a picture of the newspaper that says quarterback Manny Wilkins and Arizona State will play a 7-game season starting on November 6th.
Stop it. No.
And there's a picture of Manny celebrating with the Territorial Cup.
No.
So Manny Wilkins will be the starter, and the backup this year will be Rudy Carpenter.
I hope this is just a guy from Twitter screwing with Brian. I hope it's from Brian. Brian, I hope you're just screwing with me.
Love you, Rudy.
Doug, was that also in the paper listed as the Arizona State Wildcats quarterback, Manny Wilkins? Is that how that was listed?
It does not.
We had to turn this into a bed, basically, where we sit here and we just call people out, local people, right? Just call them out.
I don't know if we want to set that bar.
Let's just
because
call them out. Good
once they
bad.
Come back at us, I think we're going to trump them in mistakes.
We've got the microphone. I'm sorry. We'll just call you out, good or bad.
Coming up next, because that was the last beautiful part of the program was all Keim on competitiveness of Kyler.
I love that. Rip everybody. That's what we'll call it. Rip everybody.
Let's start with Bruce Cooper. Coop.
Hey, Coop, what are you doing Coop?
That's right, Coop.
I'll tell you what he's done in Costa Rica. That's what he's doing.
He's putting on the quarantine 15 as we speak in retirement.
Yes. Hi, Paul. He's already put that on.
Up next, all Cardinals and Pac-12. If you missed anything from today's show, you're going to make sure that you get caught up, and we're going to do that for you for free.
Hey, Jay Feely, kick the ball, will you please?
On 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I mean, Jude LaCava, get up already.
No. Are you talking to me? Kenny Golladay! Yeah, Kenny! Ray! Back! The Cardinals! Ray! Back! Playing in your first game of 2020! Better not light it up, Golladay. Yeah.
Pat P, go take him. Take him and press, man. Drive him nuts. Make him push off that leg all day. Make him miserable. No other options.
Love that. Make that hammy real tight.
Just play 10v10 the rest of the way. It's just, Pat P, you take care of that guy, and we'll take care of everybody else. You know, I figured we first of all, we got Nick Aliotti coming up, the longtime Oregon defensive coordinator, and he's now a Pac-12 football analyst. He's going to join us at 9:30, and we've had so many good guests that if you just tuned in now, you might have missed quite a few of them. So let's give them to you in a lightning quick format, and let's start with the college football guests we've had. Marvin Lewis, former head coach of the Bengals. Co-defensive coordinator of the Arizona State Sun Devils. And, Wolf, you were really big on why does it take 6 weeks to get a kid ready. He gave two really good reasons.
Well, I think a lot of it will have to do with getting the testing in place.
Okay.
And the Pac-12 has been very deliberate on that.
So that's one, testing in place. And number two,
deliberate
to me,
being the operative word, Coach.
Yeah, highly deliberate. Number two actually makes a lot more sense because it's state to state.
We have been ahead of Utah, probably a little bit ahead of where we are as far as their state has been. But we feel pretty good about where our players are. But the UCLA, Cal, and so forth, not the same.
Yes.
And so I think they're trying to get a little parity, at least a little bit, as much as you can, as far as giving those an opportunity to catch up a little bit.
Good point. See, and that's where I blame the Pac-12, Basinonians, because why not just go ahead and say we're postponing it? By the way, that sends a signal to everybody that is in a college football program. You better keep yourself in shape. You better do that. If you're a kid, you might want to work out. You might want to do that on your own. Stay ready, because we're not canceling it. We're going to postpone the season. And they didn't do that, and that's the reason why I think right now it's taking as long as it is to get back.
If you didn't know it, it sounded like Burnsy's collegiate career, Dave Burns. But that's actually the opening game of the ASU schedule. It started with NAU, then the first game was against U of A, and now they don't even know who they're playing in week one.
Well, the funny thing about that is, you're right, is we have prepared for every team in the Pac-12 other than Colorado, because it'll be a new offense. So we have literally broken down and prepared and mock game planned every team in the Pac-12, which has been kind of hilarious, including NAU and UNLV prior to the start.
So as soon as I heard that, Wolf, you know what I'm thinking?
What?
Is they're going to get Colorado in week one.
Yeah, right, just, exactly.
As soon as you open that up and say, yeah, we prepared for all 11 teams except the other 10 except Colorado. Uh-oh.
Well, they do have some time on their hands, don't they?
Absolutely. Then there's Dave Pasch talking about college football. The play-by-play voice of ESPN's college football coverage says, you know what? The biggest problem this exposed, no commissioner or president of football.
But I think, you know, Greg Sankey was the head of this, the SEC commissioner, from the get-go. He was really the guy that was spearheading this whole thing to just keep moving forward and trying to play and find a way. And it worked. And had there been, I mean, I know you guys probably have addressed this, but, you know, if there was a particular president overseeing all of college football, then we wouldn't have had this issue. They would have all started at the same time.
Then that's simple. He's absolutely right.
Yeah, and not only that, it's going to happen. Get ready for it, Basinonians. They're going to have a commissioner of the Power Five, period. Thank you very much, NCAA. See ya.
I got to tell you, I don't think so. And the reason why is you're asking the SEC to give up power, and I don't think they will.
That's okay. They have to. For the betterment of college football and for more money, they have to.
Now let's go NFL. We had James Betcher on the show, the former defensive coordinator of both the Cardinals and the San Francisco Giants. And you asked him the question, what's harder, the designed quarterback run or just the unscheduled stuff all over the place? And he basically said both of them, but...
Well, I think the top two things would be, number one, are the designed quarterback runs.
Yes.
Because understand, when a quarterback is an actual running threat in these designed quarterback runs, that quarterback is an extra gap that the defense has to account for on the field. When quarterbacks don't handle the ball, that's one less gap that we have to defend on defense. And gap meaning an accountable area on the field that you need a defender for to be able to have enough to fit all the blocks and still have someone to make the tackle.
Wow. Honestly, so simple but so advanced, doesn't it?
Absolutely. As an analyst, based on audience, this is the thing that fascinates me, and it's what I've been talking about for the longest time. I believe Kyler Murray, the fact you have to prepare for him, snapping him the ball and running the ball, that has a dramatic effect schematically on that front six, that front seven for a defense. That impacts them. It makes it more effective in terms of being able to run straight forward, more inside zone stuff, because now all of a sudden you're not as hunkered down in that box as you would be if, in fact, Kyler Murray was not able to run the ball.
We also had the general manager of the Cardinals on, Steve Keim, and we asked him to kind of open up a little bit. How has a pandemic, coronavirus, the difficulties of everything since Rudy Gobert until today made you a better general manager and a better organization?
I've always been a regimented person and a creature of habit. And I think that because of this, whether it's been the NFL draft or whether it's been having to make quick decisions on the run, it's taken me out of my comfort zone, which can be okay. You know, it can be okay as long as you use it as a positive and understand how you personally can grow and develop. And that's the one thing I've done is as fearful as I was of having a draft during a pandemic and drafting from my living room or whatever it may have been, I ended up realizing that there are things that I can take away from that experience to make me better in my job on a daily basis. And I think that has been something that I've applied in every facet this offseason.
Does he love the game, right, Steve? Does he love the game? I think this has made Steve Keim totally return to the base, a base philosophy of who he is as a talent evaluator. Does he love the game? It was one of the big reasons why Kyler Murray was number one overall 2 years ago because of how much he loved the game.
Coming up next, we have Pac-12 football. Nick Aliotti joins us next from the Pac-12 Network and former Oregon D.C. on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Love it when he is available to say yes. We've had some great football conversations here on the Doug and Wolf Show with Nick Aliotti, who is now joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coach, good morning. How's your life?
Good morning, man. My life is great, thank you.
Coach, how fired up are you? The Pac-12's going to play some games here.
Well, let's say this. I absolutely love college football, but having grown up on the West Coast and Pac-12 football, Pac-8, Pac-10, now Pac-12, has been a big part of my life. The college football season did not seem the same without Pac-12 involved. So very excited for that to get started up here in about 6 weeks.
Do you think – this took me a long time. I'm a big baseball guy, and I was so bitter about the infighting that happened, you know, in June before we started. It was just a rough beginning, and for me, it was really hard for me to get into it, and it's the sport I love. Do you think we're just going to be able to forgive the Pac-12 for taking a while and move right on, and, man, thank goodness it's here? Or do you think there's going to be kind of a residual frustration like people like me had with baseball?
I don't think there'll be any frustration. I think everybody's going to be excited that it gets started. I think that a lot of people are anxious to watch Pac-12 football, see what we're all about, and see if somehow, some way, we can have somebody make it to the college football playoff if they allow seven games to be acceptable, which I know they're all working on right now.
Coach, were you surprised that it was going to take 6 weeks to get a young guy ready to play in a college football game?
Absolutely. I mean, I understand. Absolutely. I mean, come on. Let's face it. Let's be real. Now, the safety and well-being and the state and county laws, I can't get into all that for all the six states that are involved. I don't know all these rules that are going on. But if you're a college athlete, we all played ball. Those guys are in shape. They've been working out. They're ready to go. I've said this all along on all the stations I've been lucky enough to get interviewed by. 4 weeks. 4 weeks is plenty enough time to get ready to play football.
Coach, I remember back when I was at West by God, Virginia, 1981 to 1984, we'd have, I don't know, 17 days, 20 days, 21 days at the tops before you were actually going to go play in your first game. And we were on our own all summer long for the most part.
Absolutely. Way back then, you know, I'm older than you two guys. We didn't even have hardly anything going on, no weightlifting, none of that stuff, as you were mentioning. And we all came in ready to play. Now, everybody's not in great shape because everybody doesn't work out the same. But for the most part, young men that are into it and really care about the sport, they're staying in shape. They're running, they're lifting, they're doing what they need to do. And when they get back, they're ready to go. In fact, in about 2 weeks to 17 days, they're tired of practicing. They're ready to play and want to play a game.
Talking to Nick Aliotti, he's a longtime defensive coordinator at Oregon and just a great voice to talk college football with. I liked hearing you say, growing up in the West Coast, growing up as a Pac-8, Pac-10, Pac-12 fan, and I'm wondering, in your mind, did the Pac-12 take a hit during this time nationally when the SEC says we're going to delay it, but we're going to play? And the Big 12 says, ACC, we're going to delay it, but we're going to play. And then the Pac-12 is out of it for a while. Now they're jumping back in, and it seems like there's a big debate, and you mentioned it too. You could go 7-0 in this conference and not be invited to the playoff, which seems to fit right into the national narrative of the Pac-12. What can the Pac-12 do to fight the national narrative that people don't care as much about football locally on the West Coast as they do in the South and the Midwest?
You know, that's a loaded and there's a lot of answers to that question. I guess the bottom line is this. I have all along, and again, I preface it with the health and safety of the players, but I have all along thought that the Pac-12 should have started in September, the normal starting time, just like some of the other leagues were, and then take the precautions necessary if something happened with the postponement of games or, you know, take a week off, whatever you had to do, and see how that played out. Mm-hmm. I thought that all along. And now, you know, starting on November 6th, and let's face it, the Mountain West is starting on October 24th. So there's the four-week answer there. They don't have any extra testing or extra facilities or extra doctors and all that stuff than they do here in the Pac-12. So a lot of that's hard to understand. The Pac-12 has been taking a lot of hits. A strong proponent of the Pac-12, not because I worked there, but because I grew up, like I said, in this region and have coached here for almost 40 seasons. So they've been taking hits all along. Hopefully we could do something on the field when it starts up again to get one of these teams. And I think Oregon has the best chance just on paper going in
Agreed.
To get somebody in the college football playoffs.
You know, Coach, speaking of hits, let's talk a little football, shall we? What do you think of the football universe overall in the direction that this game is headed?
Well, it's a little scary, you know, when you start with concussions and parents probably not as likely to want their young men to play football initially. So more and more young kids probably won't. When I say more and more won't, you know, the number will go down. And with concussions and with COVID-19 now and the world that we're in right now, it's taken a hit. I'm in hopes because I love the game of football.
Yep.
It's been a big part of my life that we will get closer to more and more people wanting to play and back to some form of normalcy. But it has taken a great hit in recent years.
Nick, we brought you on to talk college football, but this is a local question I got to ask. As a defensive coordinator for so many years, what scares you the most about Kyler Murray?
I always hated to play a quarterback that can extend and make plays with his feet, legs, when everything stopped. And that's what scares me about a guy like Kyler Murray. That guy can make plays. You have guys covered. You know, it's so hard to play. Like on third down, a two-man coverage is something you really like to play. Well, if you play that, though, you have to find a way to spy the quarterback because everybody's back's turned to the quarterback, and then this guy, all of a sudden, you don't get to him, and he makes a play. And that being said, that spy better be a guy that matches up with a Kyler Murray that can run. So just having a spy in and of itself doesn't work. You got to have a guy that can match him and run him down. So a guy that can make plays, extend plays with his legs, like a Kyler Murray, always, especially if they can throw, always scared me the most.
You know what, Coach? I think in the next 3 to 5 years, that's all you're going to see in the NFL. Am I wrong on that? I think it's all you're going to see, running quarterbacks.
The game looks like it's changed. You know, with the inception of the spread 8 to 10 years ago, whenever it really came on the scene, now you're seeing more elements of that in the NFL. You're seeing more wide open attacks. You're seeing all these orbit motions. You're seeing more fly sweeps. You're seeing more of that kind of stuff, zone, inside zone reads, quarterback RPOs. We didn't have that 10 years ago in the NFL. Now you're seeing that. And now where you thought that a running quarterback way back when was, you know, not the guy that you wanted, you want to drop back guys, we're moving more and more away from that. There always will be a place for a great thrower and a drop back quarterback. But as we mentioned, if I'm a defensive coordinator and that guy's standing in the pocket and I know where he's standing, all things being equal, and I could dial up a blitz and get to him and he can't escape, eventually we're going to get there. But those guys that can move and make you miss, they have become the dynamic players that change the game, like the Russell Wilsons, like the Kyler Murrays, like the
Lamar Jackson.
The Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
Those are the guys that are like the Mahomes. Those guys are changing the game.
Coach. We love it, Coach, when you say yes. Thanks for giving us the time. We love talking ball with you. Great talk.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
You're welcome. There's Nick Aliotti, longtime Oregon defensive coordinator, joining Doug and Wolf on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line, your family-owned and operated dealership for Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. Coming up next, it's Wolf's favorite. Paul's Call on a Friday on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Jack, please.
Paul's Call is brought to you by Brooklyn Bedding. For the best sleep ever, go to brooklynbetting.com.
Hey, it's your call, man.
We're at 5:30 in the morning on Sunday.
Nitwits. It's Paul's Call.
And Doug, as for you, we know you have a history with your neighbors.
I can say one thing about it. Eaton, nobody liked you in a White Sox uniform in the clubhouse. Okay? Wow. That's what
That's
I
real.
Know.
That's being real.
On the streets of Goodyear, Doug. I mean, please tell us, though, that you've never called the cops on Hanrahan down the street.
The
Dude
Factor.
Dude.
Because we have neighbor-on-neighbor Dude Factor in Tony, Dublin, California, in the Bay Area.
You guys would not believe what just happened.
Can you believe it?
Our neighbor called the cops on us for a rowdy pool party.
Because hit pause here. She's trying to find the words because this pool party that a neighbor called 911 over.
I'm going to show you what the rowdy pool party is. This is the rowdy pool party.
All right. That's a mom, a.k.a. the pool party perpetrator, posting a first-person video on TikTok after her neighbor called the cops on her.
I can't make this up. This is hateful as dude.
See, this mom and another mom and their two toddlers had a pool party, two infants, and a plastic play pool in the yard.
Dude.
I mean, worse than the cowbell and lover boy on a Friday, this nasty neighbor called the cops over two infants and a play pool.
She scowled at me hella hard, and she came back within like 5 minutes. It was weird. And then 5 minutes later, cops roll up, and we're like, wait, what?
Well, Paul, you have to stay safe.
We've got a dude factor.
Dude.
Yeah. Well, maybe it was an HOA violation, Wolf. We know how you love to call those in on your neighbors, you know, as even the cops couldn't contain their disbelief.
And the cops were laughing. They were like, no, we got a call about a rowdy pool party. And we were expecting a bunch of teenagers with a real pool and, like, you know, cannonballing and yelling with loud music and whatnot. And this was it.
Yeah.
This was the rowdy pool party.
There was no Ron Burgundy at the pool party.
Listen, cannonball!
So, you guys call the cops on us, you know, an HOA violation. Well, heretofore and henceforth, let it be known here at Casa Calvisi, you get the sawed-off shotgun of sports.
Oh.
Sports takes and facial hair recognizing facial hair in Minshew's mustache's direction.
I told him I appreciate the stash. I like the look. I think he rocks it. I think he owns it. And that's kind of his trademark deal. It's not necessarily the look for me, but I think it's awesome.
It's real keeping it real there. Ryan Fitzpatrick, and he, as an expert on rocking the facial hair, although we say the only thing worse than Minshew's mustache is someone who knows a thing or two about a mustache would be Chris Berman with his new Minshew nickname. Play the clip.
And what? Minshew!
Don't need it, don't want it. Cease and desist with Berman nicknames here in 2020.
Sorry, y'all. I'm just not feeling it.
Of course, maybe I'm a little salty because I do miss my mustache.
Where are you?
Yeah, I mean, Paul. Andrew Chafin gets to have all the fun rocking my poly pandemic stash.
Your beard is weird.
Your stash is trash.
So, Fitzpatrick with a beard, we know, Minshew with a mustache. But don't forget AD with the brow. On Team LeBron.
LeBron has to figure out what his needs are and express them.
Well, Dr. Phil, LeBron was expressing himself with the media on how the Lakers know when Anthony Davis is approachable.
You just see how low his brow is.
What?
If his brow is really low, then you know not to talk to him. If it's higher, then he's accepted the fact that you allowed to come into his office and talk to him. Yesterday, his brow was very low, and no one talked to him. So we already knew the mindset that he was in. And he came out and did it.
So based on the positioning of the brow, you know whether he's approachable or unapproachable.
Paulie, the Lakers are 18-1 when they combine LeBron James and AD for over 60 points. Did you know that, Paul?
Well, did you know, Wolf, we have a rule here on Paul's Call, no math. Can we talk, Paul?
Paul talks to football players and tries to stay out of the way. It's the Paulie Pigskin Report.
Yeah, Paulie Pigskin Report.
Right now, looking over the block wall into the backyard of our NFC West neighbors, do you know where the Niners have spent this week?
Ooh, fancy.
Greenbrier and some media guy asked a question to Kyle Shanahan about the verdant hills of West Virginia, Wolf, and specifically where the Greenbrier is located.
The town of White Sulphur Springs, probably 100 years ago, built an entire industry on tourists believing in the healing powers of the waters there.
I did not know that about the healing powers of the water, so I'll stop with the bottled water and get right to that for our players. We could use it right now.
The media guy wants to know about the healing waters of White Sulphur Springs, Coach.
I don't know.
It's in West Virginia, Paul.
As for Cards lines on Sunday, Wolf, you called out Kenny Golladay with a Pantera shout-out.
Basin audience, check out the burgers.
During four-down territory, we cited DeAndre Hopkins, who had the drop last week.
Dagnabbit.
Plus the busted route that ended up in a pick.
Disappointed!
Our Pauly Pigskin prediction is that the D&D hop will stand for destruction, and the three-time All-Pro will take it out in the number three pick in game number three of his career, Jeff Okuda.
Have my signal. Unleash hell.
What's interesting is that Golladay and D-Hop, they come together here when Lions OC Daryl Bevel is talking about what he wants to see out of Golladay.
He had a really nice year last year for us, and you know, we hope that he continues to have many more like that. There are specific things that we're talking to him that he can take his game to the next level, but really you want him to be thought of in those upper echelon, you know, guys with the Hopkins and, you know, Thomas and those type of players where he really is dictating to the defense like how they have to cover it.
Wrap it up.
It's time for another edition of
Robbie God Dang.
It is Friday, and like Doug and Wolf here, you know, you might feel like mailing it in.
So it's normal and natural to be lazy.
Well, Pauly Postage Stamp is here to say,
don't do it.
Don't be like Doug and Wolf. Don't be like these guys. Well, these guys here now from Long Island.
For many, this is going to sound like something out of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, an underground lair beneath the train tracks.
These subway workers weren't crime fighters, though. They were slackers.
What's below those tracks? A secret break room.
Honestly, it's kind of innovative.
They say that there are thousands of rooms, Doug, scattered all over massive Grand Central Station.
I'll be gall dang.
These subway workers found an unused office and then went next level as...
It wasn't just the foreman's office. It was the foreman's little apartment.
A fridge with beer, a futon, a flat screen. This was a man cave below the Metro North tracks.
No way.
Built themselves a man cave to slack on the job.
I'll be gall dang.
I mean, who do you think you are, Manny Machado?
I'm not the type of player that's going to be Johnny Hustle, and that's just not my personality. That's not my cup of tea. That's not who I am.
Now, they set up a futon, the flat screen, the microwave. They had a fridge.
Oh, my goodness.
All the above. I mean, they napped. They watched TV. Like Doug on a beer Friday, they boozed on the job.
A select few workers used it as a man cave to hang out and get drunk and party.
These employees should not be doing this when they're on the job. This is completely, completely unacceptable.
Okay. Suits aren't going to stand for that.
And without that pledge pin!
By the way, just like Knicks GMs, they denied any culpability.
I'm innocent. I'm very innocent.
One problem, they were under the tracks and then failed to cover their tracks.
The employees deny using this hangout, but left fingerprints everywhere. Receipts, internet, clearly routed from one of their phone's hotspots. Supervisors had no idea.
There were receipts with their names on it. It was, let's just advance here, because you know what? We are out of here. Don't call me, don't text, nothing.
This has been another edition of Paul's Call.
Get off me!
Now kindly get off Paul.
I'm busy.
He's busy.
Never use a nail file to reshape your teeth.
Oh, that was horrible.
I wish I never did it.
So do that. Frosty Arizona, it's Sierra Nevada time.
He's gone! Oh, mama!
It's Paul's Call.
Thank you, Paul.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's.
It's all about the you. It's all about
the you. Brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Looking to buy a nice home and can't find one? Go to OurNiceHomes.com. That's OurNiceHomes.com.
My big takeaway from today's show, Gary Bettman, I realize I care more about hockey than you, but why are you having back-to-back games in the Stanley Cup Finals? Makes no sense.
Lions have two sacks in two games, the worst rush defense. I've got the Cardinals for a 40-burger on Sunday.
A wide receiver one keeps a defense very, very honest, doesn't it, Vance Joseph? Peace and strength.